As we started into Colossians chapter 3, we saw the principles of holy living in the first 17 verses. Today we're going to pick up at verse 18. If you're going to have principles, they're for people. And as we look at these six types of individuals that the Apostle Paul is going to address under the inspiration of God, we want to look at these very carefully. And I want to make sure before you leave, you fit in one of these types of people, okay? I don't leave nobody out. Because the people that God deals with in this passage is every one of us. You will find yourself in here somewhere. If you don't, let me know after service. I might have missed one. So as we look, the theme of this chapter has been the inner life in Christ. And as we look at this thing, the key verse is verse 12, where the Bible says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." He said to put those things on. So that's what we're supposed to wear, is those things. And we get down to verse 18, and he says this: "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, that is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your husbands, be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger." Where's the kid at?
Amen.
Thank you, son. "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." As we look today in the Word of God, we want to look today at the people of holy living. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look at this. Father, we love you today, and we pray, God, that you'll move and do a great work in our hearts and lives and help us today as we get into the Word of God. Lord, we pray for your understanding today, God. Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." That, God, that you'd help us see what the Holy Ghost would have us to have in the Word of God today. Lord, I pray you help me as I preach, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Show us these great and mighty things which we know not. Help them to apply us to our lives, we may live more for you. In Jesus' precious name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look in the Word of God, there are six type of individuals that are addressed in this passage of Scripture. And these are the people that's going to take these principles we found in verses 1 through 17 and apply them in their lives so they may be a holy living people. Now, I know a lot of times people say that Christians are anything but holy. We're not talking about that fake bunch of reprobates, the devil plant somewhere. I'm talking about born again children of God that love Jesus Christ and they're set aside for him. So what I'm saying is, if you're a devil listening to this, you're not going to like this. Number one is this one. Look at verse 18, where our brother shouted a while ago, "Wives." First type of individual. You look pale, lady. I see you over here. But anyway, I see right there it says, "Wives." It says, "Submit yourselves unto your own husbands." See that? And he says that is fit in the Lord. Now, submission to any authority is one of the most disagreeable things about life. Everybody wants to be in charge, and nobody wants to be the one that's having to submit to authority. But the fact of life is this. Everywhere you go, you got to submit to some kind of authority. I found out that if you leave your home, you say, "I'm going to get out from the old man's authority and go join the Marines." Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Or a little girl say, "I'm tired of daddy's rules. I'm going to go out and get married and run off." Good luck with that. Because guess what happens then? Now you got another man over you. So he's an idiot. You the one picked him, not me. I mean, I looked for intelligence when I was shopping around, but wasn't you? See there? Listen, he said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." That implies two things. Number one is this. When he says, "Wives, submit to your husbands," he says, "as it is fit in the Lord." That thing of submission to your husband is dependence. It's dependence on the Lord first.
Right.
Because if you are not submitted to the Lord, you will never submit to a husband. And I say that as charitably as I can say it. I'm not saying let him be a dictator, because it does say this, as it is fit in the Lord.
Right.
Hey, honey, run go get me a beer is not fit in the Lord.
Right.
Hey, honey, buy me some pornographic magazines while you're out is not fit in the Lord.
Right.
That's garbage. You don't have to do that stuff. Hey, honey, you got to do what I say. I don't reply to that. As it is fit in the Lord. Hey, honey, go buy me a lottery ticket.
Come on.
Hey, honey, go tell the preacher at the door I ain't here. That ain't fit in the Lord.
Right.
He said, submit unto your own husbands. The biggest gripe I hear out of the feminazis in this world is the fact that they won't be submitted to no man. That's nice of you to say that, especially when you got your father's name as your last name.
Right.
I'll not take a man's. You already got one.
Right.
You already got one. Or my favorite one is the other line they use. I'm submitting to him. And they'll run off to a job somewhere and submit to some man over there.
Right.
Yes, sir, I'll be right on that, sir. I'll do it. You want some coffee, sir? Let me tell your husband that. Say, my home's is a living hell. Well, make it heaven, baby.
Amen.
The woman guides the house. I don't know what you men are thinking, but the woman takes care of the house and guides that house.
Right.
And she can make that thing something.
Right.
She can make it a pleasure to be there, or she can make it the other thing. But listen, it depends on dependence to the Lord first, and it also is going to require your devotion to the Lord.
Right.
In other words, let me put it very plainly, okay? Wives, I'm on your team. Here's why. My wife told me when we both got saved, she said, I'm submitting to you, and you're going to run things now. I didn't know how to run things. I let her run things because I didn't know how to run things. So here I am with a stack of bills, a checkbook, and a pen. And I had a calculator. I had a solar-powered calculator. Y'all remember those before we had cell phones, a calculator?
Yeah.
And I sat down with that thing and I thought, what am I going to do? I didn't know nothing about that. It's like she put the washing machine in my hand the first time and said, here, go wash clothes. I was like, I don't know what to do with this thing. Hands me a vacuum cleaner. What are you going to do? I don't know. How do you turn this thing on? Better yet, how do you unplug it? So I had to learn something. I couldn't figure it out for about a month there. Then I went to prayer and I said, Lord, I don't understand this. We got saved and things are supposed to get better and they kind of got worse. Then I found out if I just trust Him and follow what the Word of God says on running the house,
right,
He'd take care of everything else.
Yeah.
So does your wife submit to you? Well, I can't get her to go get me a beer or nothing, but she does everything else. Whatever's fit in the Lord, you see. That beer thing was a joke. I do not drink. I ain't drank 25 years. But at the end of the day, let me say this. If you ever want to see the next part happen, this part happens first.
Right.
And listen, for all these people that say, well, these preachers ain't preaching wives submit their husbands. I'm fixing to kill the men.
Uh-oh.
So if you think I'm rough on women, you ain't seen nothing yet. Okay? I'm going to get them twice.
Come on.
I got 2 points for them. Okay? Only one for you. All right, so look at this. We see the 6 types of individuals. There's wives. Wives that do what? Submit yourselves to your own husbands. He didn't say submit your sister to her husband.
Right.
See that? This is something you got to take care of in your life.
Right.
Now watch the next one. He says in verse 19, husbands, love your wives.
That's right. Amen.
Not hearing a lot of female voices out there. That's bothering me, man. I told you I was going to get these guys if you just give me a minute. Husbands, love your wives.
Amen.
Thank you. And be not bitter against them. I'm going to give you a quote I read, and you're going to love this. Those who can't rule the roost, ruin the roost. And before you can ever be a good leader, you have to be a good follower.
Right.
There was an old joke that was told years ago. Y'all probably heard this before, but there was 2 lions going into heaven for men. And, of course, Peter was up there at the gate and all that stuff. They tell these jokes. One lion had a multitude of men in it, and the other lion had 1 man in it. This lion said, men who allowed their women to run their house and their lives, here. And this one over here said, men that ran their house. And there's 1 guy standing there. So Peter walks over to him and says, "Why are you the only guy in this line?" He said, "My wife told me to get over here." You got to understand, if you both don't do this, it don't work. It'll be a struggle forever. But in case she ain't submitting, I'm going to give you the way to do it to her. Husbands, love your wives.
Right.
That word love deals with three things. Number one, it deals with affection.
Right.
A lot of men have never understood what it means just to hold a woman's hand, what it means to her. Or to talk to her as a human being. Treat her with what they call something called respect. Y'all heard of that before?
Right, yeah.
That all comes out of affection for a person.
Right.
Secondly, without getting too out of place here, is romance.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, baby. And that should be something you only practice with your wife. Now, I know that a lot of times you're such a handsome devil, it's hard for to just, you have to beat the women off of and your wife's jealous. I understand. But you don't have to show that to them, show that to her.
Right.
It wouldn't hurt if you'd find out what kind of candy she likes and show up with it every once in a while.
Come on.
It wouldn't hurt to maybe go by and by the funeral home or by the graveyard out there and get her some flowers. Hey, you ain't shouting. That shocks me, because that's the free flowers. But go by and get you some flowers. Or even better, go by up here at Hicks Florist, someplace like that. Go in and fill out a card that says, "Honey, I love you." And then pay them to take that thing out. So that costs money. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's romance. And women love it. You go, listen, tell you something. You go over and watch them old films, them old black and white films, a man comes up speaking Italian to a woman and she just goes, when them flowers come in, she can go, and you walk and go, romance. But then this one, love also implies placement. Make her first. Listen to me. I love my friends. I do. I love all of them. I love my Christian brothers. But I don't have boys' night out.
That's right.
You know why? I'm married.
Amen.
If by chance these ladies want to get together and have a ladies' fellowship, y'all can come over to the house. Here's the thing. When she gets back, y'all got to go. See, this business of having friends over to spend the night after you're married, that'll kill your marriage.
That's right.
It'll kill your marriage. Listen, put her first.
That's right.
Let her know she comes before the boys, that she comes before the girls,
right,
and that she's before everything else. Now, wives, don't take advantage of this by calling work saying, "Honey, I got a headache. You got to come home." Okay, that's not.
That's right.
That's abuse. That's trying to take advantage of somebody's placement.
Right.
But when we're looking at the fact that somebody says there for fact placement and put her ahead of you, that's love.
Right.
All right. How many of you men would like to go out today and purchase a gun? Now, this is not just any gun. This is one of them nickel-plated Colt 45s. Woo! Nice and two with pearl handles on him. I mean real pearl, where they cost $800 for the handles. I mean nice, boy. And when you touch that gun, it feels like satin almost. It's got such a good finish on that stuff. Comes with a box. They gonna put your name on it. How much y'all reckon something like that cost? $1,500? $1,800? Something like that? Let me show you how something's honest. Is that not a good deal right there? I mean, a gun, like, is that not cool? Raise your hands. All of you, raise your hands. Thank you. Even some of the women want one of them. I like it. Before you go out and buy that for you, buy something for her.
Right.
So I ain't got that kind of money. You'd lay it away for you, lay it away for her. Husbands, love your wives.
Right.
She likes things, too.
Amen.
Ladies, am I getting all of it in that you wanted in yet? Okay. Here's a problem, though, that happens with husbands loving your wives. Look at that next part of that verse, and be not bitter against them. Bitterness is a root, according to Hebrews 12:15, where he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. If you get bitter at your wife, you will never put her first, you'll never act romantic towards her, you'll never show her no affection. You got to get him up by the root and get that stuff out, whatever it is.
Right.
I'm sure there's a lot of experts on this subject that's more qualified to speak on this than me, but I know this. If you have bitterness, it didn't say wives be not bitter against them. It said husbands.
Right.
You know what the quickest way to end a marriage is? Bitterness. So what could I get bitter about? Oh, you know, I ain't got to tell you. You expert that subject. You're a man, you know. Bitterness is holding a grudge and letting the devil build a garden on that thing and then him cultivating it in your mind and building that thing till finally it all of a sudden it's going to take root and spring up and then nobody will be able to do nothing with you on that area.
Right.
What we need to pray for in instances like that is not only God's lawnmower, but God's weed eater and God's weed killer to go in that thing.
Right.
See, a couple of lessons about this, and I think men need this to hear this just as much as women do, and that's this. Number one, be careful who you marry.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something to really help you out today? I know you hate your mother-in-law, but listen to me. Look up here. She is what you really married.
Come on.
You ain't seeing what I'm seeing. This is getting good. But that's who you really married.
Right.
Whoever raised that woman, whatever woman raised that woman, that's who you marrying.
Right.
Secondly, be careful with your mouth around that woman.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, while her mother may be a devil without horns, keep this in mind. That's her mama.
Right.
And women love their mothers.
Amen.
When you get to the point where you think that you've arrived enough where you can manage your marriage by saying anything you want to, you probably are not doing very well and you just don't know
right.
it.
Yeah.
Husbands, love your wives.
Right.
Does your mother-in-law make you mad? Of course she does. That's her job. You know what in-law means in the Greek? Of opposition, amen, or something like that, right? But listen to me. Be careful how you manage your mouth around them.
Right.
See, because you are not only in a marriage, but especially if your mother-in-law is lost, you need to win her to Christ.
That's right.
And if you mistreat her darling there, you ain't going to do it.
That's right.
I know many good men that messed up in their marriage and couldn't win their mother-in-law the Lord for one reason. Here it is. They didn't know how to manage their mouth around her. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
This is all helpful stuff.
Right.
And if this ain't bad enough, we see wives, we see husbands. If you look down at verse 20, children. Children. I might could venture out here and say something here to help you out, but listen to this. If I ain't hit you yet, you in this. This is you right here. Everybody's in this one.
Come on.
Children, what does it say to do with your parents? And how things. For this is what? Well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, watch this. Obey your parents in all things as well-pleasing to the Lord. That's in all things that's pleasing unto Him.
Right.
Children, let's talk. If daddy comes up or mama comes up and says, go lie for me, don't do it. That's not pleasing to the Lord.
Right.
If they come up and say, run out to the store and get me a six pack, don't do it. MP 21.
Amen.
Don't do it. That's not pleasing to the Lord.
Right.
Well, you can lay out a church. Don't do it. That ain't pleasing to the Lord.
Amen.
We just going up to the mountains for a day. That ain't well pleasing to the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Honey, you need to stay home. Daddy's sick. It's going to take all five of us to take care of him. Bless God, if he's that in better shape, take him to the intensive care. They ain't even got that many people for one person up there.
That's right.
Funny how a sniffle can wipe out a whole house, ain't it? Poor kids left behind. They can't drive. They want to go to church. They can't. Just call me. I'll come get you. Listen to this. Children must consider that word obey means to comply with direction, with command, with request. And here's the brass tacks of it. Go take the trash out as well pleasing to the Lord.
That's right.
Clean up your room as well pleasing to the Lord.
Yeah.
Ain't you never heard cleanliness is next to godliness? They tell me that's in the Bible. I ain't found it, but they said it. How about cutting the grass?
Right.
And the daughter's also, send that brother on out there. He's so mean. How about you help wash and fold him clothes?
Oh.
These are well pleasing to the Lord. This still falls under that cleanliness thing, remember? That they said was in the Bible. Do you know, listen to this. I think one of the greatest inventions of mankind I've ever seen in a kitchen, well, there's two of them. The microwave and the dishwasher.
Amen.
I'm a master of both of them. You have me a pack of frozen anything, and I look at the front of that microwave and figure out how to cook you a 3-course meal. Don't laugh at me. Applebee's does it all the time. And I believe that Olive Garden does too, but I can't be sure. Ooh. Well, I'm going back. I ain't going to quit them. Listen. Their microwave must be better than mine. But listen, when you look at stuff and you see how things are done with those are wonderful things.
Yeah.
But there shouldn't be a daughter alive that grows up in a house with a stove in it and a sink that don't know how to operate them two things either.
That's right.
Yeah. Teaching little girls how to cook.
Right.
Don't hide Christmas presents in the oven. Use that thing to bake lasagna and fry eggs, man. We ain't asking for you to be like that mouthy guy that does that cooking on TV. I don't even like him. Listen, just learn how to operate stuff in the kitchen. Now, before you say I walk here so I'll be barefoot pregnant, I ain't even got to that part yet. But I do know this. It's a shame the day you and I live in that there's more money spent on dog food than their own people food is fixed in their own houses. So why is that? Our little girls don't know how to cook. So how do you know that? Well, I watch them go to Walmart with their pajamas on.
Yeah.
With mud up the back of them. How long have they had them things on? Somebody teach them kids, hey, get out there and get busy.
Right.
The electric dishwasher, again, one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. You put stuff in, you put a little thing in there, you turn this button, and they come out mostly clean. It looks like some of your teenagers has washed the dishes. But let me show you something here. That thing's a privilege, not a right. You learn character over there with that dish rag in your hand and that water. Say, but oh, it'll affect my hands. Not to you, probably 70 or 80 or 90 years old. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And if you're that tender, put on, they make them gloves. What do they call them? Big yellow gloves. Everybody, you know. When I was a kid, that was the big thing. All the women was buying them things so they could have washed. Well, y'all remember some of them things. But go out there and build you some character in your kids instead of making your kids characters.
Right.
And children, obey your parents.
Amen.
What's pleasing in the Lord. Not what, listen, a lot of parents try to take that and abuse their kids with it.
Right.
He didn't say do everything they say. He says what's pleasing to the Lord.
Right.
See, if you've got a parent that's trying to get you to sin through that, don't do it.
Amen.
So what if they do something to me about it? Well, what if they do? The kids that come to me with questions like that usually are so much in trouble with everything else, they find one thing they're doing right and they try to, you know, play the system.
Yeah.
Okay? See, what children have to consider is this. While you are a child now, you will one day be in charge. To rule wisely, you must learn to obey as a child.
Right.
Secondly, disobedience was man's first sin. First one. Devil showed up and he corrected the word of God. That's the first sin recorded. But what happened, man? Do he disobeyed God?
That's
He didn't even have but two commandments. Broke both of them in a day. Listen, and when you're dealing with children, and children, when you're dealing with your parents, two things you've got to keep in mind. There is no justice without mercy, and there is no mercy without justice. That's how things get turned around backwards. Now, because you men haven't shouted me on properly a while ago, I'm fixing to get you again. Verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be, what's that word there? Discouraged. You ever read these books, Daddies for Dummies, or Being a Daddy for Dummies, and all this other stuff, and Daddy 101 and all that? I'm going to save you the trouble reading. I'm going to give you five things right quickly about being a father. Number one is counsel. Always be willing to talk to your kids. If they've done wrong, tell them what's wrong, but tell them what's right, too.
Amen.
I would much rather know what I don't need to do so I don't do it than do it and then find out I was not informed or told not to do it and then get whipped till the smoke alarm goes off because I didn't know.
Amen. Right.
Always counsel with your kids. Always talk to them. Have an open door policy with children where they can come in and talk to you about anything.
Yeah.
Second word, cause. Cause. Why should you have a cause, Daddy? Because you, their daddy.
Right.
Yeah. That's the cause. Like that, cause. You got to have a cause. Listen, don't tell me your kid's an idiot. You put him here and I'll raise him.
Right.
And just so you know this, all of them are idiots when they come out.
Right.
They got to be trained from there.
Right.
Are you listening to me now? I ain't trying to be mean. I'm trying to illustrate a point here that when children are born, they don't know anything but what they're taught.
Right.
The only thing they ain't doing their own is cry, eat, sleep, and that other thing. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all they know. They got four things they'll master at when they come out. Everything else got to be told to them.
Right.
Number three, commitment. You fathers have got to have a commitment to your child.
Amen.
Committed to them.
Yeah.
When you pray, pray for them.
Right.
When you act, listen, when you get off work and everything and you come home, listen, come home committed to your children.
Amen.
So what if they've done wrong while I'm up? I don't know. That's your business. If I know this, you need to be committed to those kids.
Yeah.
Your kids.
Yeah.
Don't worry about my kids. You worry about your kids. I see another word there that we could probably come up with in Daddy 101 would be commendation. When they do a good job, tell them that.
Amen.
Don't try to provoke them to anger all the time. Give them a commendation.
Amen.
I know it's going to be rare, but you're going to come in one day and they're going to do something you've already told them to do before you told them to do it, and that's great.
Amen.
Thank God for a kid that has initiative to do something every once in a while.
Right.
You are beating 98% of your peers out right now if you do that.
Right.
And Daddy, if you show commendation towards your kid, you're better than half the parents I've met in my lifetime.
Mom.
Here's a good one for you. We're sitting at a dinner table. This daughter says, I've invested money in this, that, and the other, and it didn't work out. And her daddy says, well, if you'd listen to your daddy and do what he said, you'd probably be a whole lot better off financially now. Yeah. About that, provoke not, lest they be discouraged.
Right.
I don't know how much that children put up with and all that, but I know I've seen it with a lot of children. I've seen children walk out of Christian homes and go out and live like the devil because their Christian daddy is all the time trying to make them mad and tell them how he is right all the time.
Right.
If you was that good, you'd be better off in life than you are. If you so wise.
Right.
And unless your name is Rockefeller, don't tell me how to spend my money because I probably don't believe you.
Right.
That's like fat people telling people how to go on a diet. I don't want to hear it. I already know how to be like this. And if you knew how to be skinny, you'd already done it. Right? You got commendation, you got commitment, cause, counsel. But don't forget this one, chastisement.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to set your children down and give them the punishment meted for what they've done.
Yeah.
Now, if you've had a bad day at work and you're already mad and you come in and you and the old lady start fussing and then the kid comes up and's messed up, don't start swinging at that kid.
Right.
Because now you're mad enough for four people coming in. You got your boss you're mad at, the guys you work mad at, her you're mad at, and now you start... don't do that. Set you some guidelines out for chastisement. We had a system in our house, and I had a school teacher build me a paddle. It was okay. She put a Bible verse on it and everything. And we had it set up. You do this, one lick. You do this, three licks. No matter how mad I was, I had a guideline. If I was too mad, I'd wait. I found out that's one of the better punishments you can do to a child. Tell them, I'm going to get you and wait about 15 minutes and do it. Get calmed down. Because they've been sweating the thing the whole time. They're like a prostitute in a police lineup. They're sitting there sweating themselves to death, wondering if they're going to be identified or not. And then all of a sudden, some of you daddies wimp out and don't do anything. That's why I see people going, if you don't sit down, I'm going to count to three. Count to 100. You ain't going to do nothing.
Come on.
Or my all-time favorite, when we get home, what are you going to do? You've threatened that for the last 10 years and ain't done nothing yet.
Right.
That kid ain't worried about that. But you tell him, hey, we're going to do this, this, and this. Here's the counsel. Here's why we're doing it. Or even better, Daddy, maybe you take your Bible and show them where they've done it wrong in the Bible.
Right.
I mean, it is right and wrong here, right?
Yeah.
Lay the thing out. Don't be no dictator with them. Be a daddy.
Yeah.
And then you do all this because of another thing. It's all because you care.
Right.
I love your kids. I'm glad they're doing well. And I know you. I say all your bumper stickers are the best kid of whatever school they go to. I get it. But at the end of the day, I care about my kids because if my kid ain't like your kid, I want to still do right by my kid.
Amen.
If all my examples in life are bad, I still want to take God's example and do that one the right way.
Amen.
Now, this last part of this message, I want to deal with something here that's going to be kind of hard on some people because, for obvious reasons. And that's this thing about servants over here. This is people that have a job. And I want to talk to you about how to work for others for this last little part here. This is the type of individual, most of you fit this part, you work for somebody or you working for somebody right now. So not me, I'm self-employed, then you, sir, work for a fool. But thank you back there in the back. Amen. Listen, you never realize how hard it is to work for yourself until you actually do it. Then you're thinking, I'm the worst boss ever, the worst one ever. And you think, I'd fire me if I had the guts to do it. But how to work for others. If you look at verse 22, servants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Masters according to the flesh. That would qualify under a job, wouldn't it?
Right.
Here's how to do it. Not, negative, not with eye service as men pleasers. Ain't it funny how God gives you the negative for the positive there? Don't be positive. You can't have negative and positive. You can't have one without the other. They got to go together. Here it is. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Brother Steve told me this story years ago, and I think it's so funny. He had a man on the job walking around carrying a pipe all day. Well, every time he looks around and looks at him, the guy's got the same pipe going a different direction. What's he doing? He's making sure he sees him doing something. Can I tell you something? Your boss isn't stupid. If he watches you do that two or three times, he's going to catch on to what's going on.
That's right.
But he shouldn't have to. For a born-again child of God, you shouldn't be carrying a piece of pipe around on the job all day long. You ought to be putting that pipe up, putting it up against the wall, bending it, screwing it into the other piece of pipe. That's what you ought to be doing.
Amen.
If you're a carpenter, don't you be carrying around a 2x4 all around the house all day long. Lord God, if I was the homeowner and saw that, I'd fire your boss. Listen, this thing all starts with devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as he says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but, he says, in singleness of heart, fearing God. So, when you're out there on the job, because you're devoted to the Lord, you should be devoted to your work. Every good Christian I know that's got a job that's devoted to Jesus Christ is the best employee where they work at. So, what about them guys that kiss up to the boss all the time? Forget them. I don't even acknowledge stuff like that. Just keep on going for Jesus. I think he said there, according to master, according to the flesh, not with eye service, not just while the boss is looking, but when he walks away, keep doing the job.
That's right.
Secondly, you got verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. So not only have devotion to the Lord in this thing, you have a demonstration to the Lord in it. And the fact of what you're doing it for Jesus. Can you imagine this? Walk into your job Monday thinking this, I'm not working for them anymore, I'm still working for him.
Amen.
Well, the boss has walked away, let's go over here and goof off.
Yeah.
He didn't walk away, he's still here.
Right.
Remember, you brought him with you. Mm-hmm. You know, God leaves with you when you go to church, when you leave church. And I see that if we have a demonstration of something like that, that whatsoever we do, what did he say do? As to the Lord, not unto men. I think if you work for God, you'd do a better job if you work for people.
Right.
I don't care if your job is painting Easter eggs. If you do it for Jesus, you're going to do it a whole lot better than you do it if you've done it for somebody that's watching over your back screaming at you all day.
Right.
Verse number 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Here's a way a servant knows something. A lot of people don't do this because of this word right here, doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. They've never been taught this stuff.
Right.
How many of you honestly, don't raise your hands because it might be an embarrassment to you or somebody else, but how many of you honestly have ever come to church and heard a message on how to work on a job? That should be preached on.
Yeah.
It's in the Bible.
Amen.
So why don't they preach on it? Well, you know, we can't keep everybody happy that way. See, some of you don't do a good job now, and you are under conviction.
Oh.
And God's dealing with you. Listen, don't you lay this on me. Listen, I see this for a fact. If you've been taught this, when you get to the job tomorrow, you're going to be walking in with it on your back saying, I'm going to do right. No more goofing off. No more doing this. No more hanging out by the water cooler. No more taking 45-minute smoke breaks every hour. You're going to want to do right.
Right.
Here's the most ridiculous thing I ever saw on a job was, y'all going to love this. There was this little, you know them little buildings that's for sale everywhere, them little storage buildings? Well, one day, at the plant I worked at, you're going to love this, brother. They said, we can't smoke everywhere in the plant no more. So all you boys that smoke, y'all can't smoke everywhere. So we're going to give you a little building, a little outbuilding here with an ashtray in it, and all you're going to sit in there and smoke. So every hour on the hour, I would watch the same people go take them 45-minute breaks, sit around there and talk. When the guys that did smoke said, when are we going to get our 45-minute break? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You talking about a mess. They're fighting left and right over that stuff. But here's the fact of the matter. The plant manager come down. He had this to say. Lock that thing up and get it out of my plant. He said, ain't nobody lounging around on the job for 45 minutes every hour. He said, I never thought of it until I saw all that. That that's all you guys do is sit around and do nothing. Get to work. Everybody's like, but we didn't want to go to work. We just wanted a break. See, if you're working for the Lord, you ought to be ashamed of yourself doing something like that.
Yeah.
Say, you against cigarettes? I'm against you laying around on a job.
Yeah.
I don't care if you dig ditches or flip burgers. Do it for Jesus.
That's right.
Look at this. Verse 25. Here's them guys you was telling me that you thought of these when I said that thing, not as eye service men pleaser. You thought about these guys right here that don't ever do anything. They always butter up to the boss and all that. It says verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Have you ever been on a job where such and such a son was the plant manager's son? He come in there and he worked. And he was untouchable. He could pretty much set the place on fire and still have a job.
Yeah.
If you brought matches, they'd fire you type thing. When you are being a good Christian employee, you need direction. Your direction's Jesus. And I read this quote years ago. I don't know who it's original with. But God may not pay on Friday, but God always pays.
That's right.
You let the Lord take care of somebody like that and quit worrying about them. You take care of your business. You do your job. You do it as unto the Lord. And let God deal with these people that do that kind of stuff like that.
Amen.
You know what the saddest thing is people will say in your lifetime? They'll say stuff like this. I'm better than such and such. I learned something a long time ago that God threw a big old circle around all of us and called us sinners. And he didn't distinguish. He just said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
And when I think about what sin is, I think that when I read through a passage like this, that somebody could literally sit here in a church and say, I don't take pills, I don't smoke cigarettes, don't drink liquor, I don't run around my wife, I don't do wrong by my kids, and I don't do all this other stuff. But yet when you get to the job, you are the worst guy on the job. Nobody likes you. They put up with you because you've got pictures of your boss or whatever it is, and you are basically ruining the name of God by doing that.
Yeah.
Don't worry, payday's coming.
Right.
You people that work on jobs that make fun of Christians and won't tell dirty jokes in front of us, go ahead and let them.
Yeah.
Go ahead and let them. Payday's coming.
Right.
Those people that want to treat a Christian wrong because they're a Christian and because they're under conviction, because these folks, listen, you have something they want so bad that they won't admit it, guess what? As they do you wrong, let them. God pays his bills.
That's right.
Listen, Romans 12:17, avenge not yourselves. Why? God take care of that. It says it right there in that verse. Watch this. There is no respect of persons. I don't care if you the guy that's the janitor down at the schoolhouse, or you the guy in the White House, or you somebody that runs a big corporation, somebody that works for somebody, whatever you are, God has no respect of persons.
Yeah.
Be sure your sin will find you out. And with cases like this, there is no respect of persons with God.
Yeah.
You treat people wrong, it always comes back to you. You sow something, you're going to reap that thing. But when I get to thinking about looking at something like this, and I know this, if you don't smoke, you don't drink, and you don't chew and run with those that do, Jesus died for the sin of goofing off on the job.
Right.
That's how real the cross is to us. It's not about some broad statement called sin. It's about specific sins. It's about children that don't obey your parents. Jesus Christ died for that sin.
Right.
Wives, God died for that sin. Daddies, God died for that sin of what you're doing. Hey, listen, husbands, God died for that thing.
Right.
All of it's sin to him. All of it got put on his cross and all of it got put under his blood. Will you accept his payment for that thing? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around.